Hi again. Welcome back to Dating Funnies. Again, standard. Hope everyone's doing well. Crazy each day. I'm not sure how we're going to date when everyone is now mandated to wear masks wherever they go. I chuckle enough, and hopefully I'm not offending anyone here, but when I see someone drive down the freeway or the street and they're wearing a mask inside their car, or they're wearing a mask out in the middle of a golf course, really, it doesn't make any sense at all. And there is science behind the fact that if you wear a mask and you don't clean it and you're wearing it all the time, you're just breathing back in your own CO, unless you have an N95 mask. So if you don't have one of those, not that I'm a scientist and I'm certainly not a doctor, you might want to rethink wearing it all the time. So with that said, I hope everyone's healthy. So I thought I'd kind of catch up with a little bit of things that happened this last week, as well as something new that I saw. One of my little guilty pleasures in life is to read the newspaper every day. Yes, the newspaper in print. I know it's available online, but I'm an older guy. You know, old habits are hard to die. But while I was reading the Sunday paper, there was an article in the Seattle Times under the Life section, and this is the June 21st newspaper, so Sunday. And I had to laugh because in it is a whole two-page article about what's it like to date in Seattle during a pandemic. So it's interesting. They've chatted about a few things that not only I have chatted about, but Aunt Ruthie has chatted about too in our podcast. If you want to offer some input, you can go look for this article, or you can send an email to dating@seattletimes.com by Wednesdays, each Wednesday, and maybe they'll publish your story. I plan on sending them my thoughts on dating during COVID. What do you do when we have to, or mandated to do social distance and to wear face masks? I know this last weekend I had Father's Day, and my son, his wife, the grandkids, and her parents, we all went wine tasting. Such an odd feeling driving out to Woodinville, which is north of Bellevue, because I haven't been to a public restaurant since February. So what's that, 4 months? Does it seem odd because I'm used to just going to work, going home, going to work, going home. You know, Groundhog Day, every day is the same day. It just seems weird. Every day I walk 4 or 5 miles around my whole business complex. There's not a soul in sight. It kind of rattles my brain. So I try to listen to different podcasts. I try to listen to music so I don't have to listen to myself, right? The self-talk that we have. How do we? How do we meet people? So at the wine tasting, it was interesting. We had to wear masks going in the front door, but once we were inside the front door, we could take them off when we got to our table. And of course, the tables were spread out. But my grandson, who's 6, and my granddaughter, that's 4, they got to come in without a face mask, and they got to walk around the restaurant without a face mask. It's just a weird thing. But the restaurant was really nice. We went to DeLille Winery. Very nice staff, great people. They remembered my grandson and how well he could draw, so that was kind of fun. And we had great wine tasting, and then we went to Matthew's out in Woodinville, which I've always liked. I've liked their venue. Pre-COVID, they'd have dancing on Friday nights with live music and wine tasting. And they had us out, and we sat in the lawn area, and everyone did their social distancing there, and no one wore a mask outside. People kind of wore masks inside unless they were drinking. And then the kids, there's several kids out there under the age of 10, and they're running, laughing, having a great time, but none of them were wearing masks. So it's just kind of weird. So how do you date? How do you meet someone and go from a Zoom call or video chat on some of these apps and then go meet? And I asked that because, I don't know, I shared with you folks a couple weeks ago about this matchmaking company. I had one Zoom video call, and the lady seemed really nice, but I could tell that her and I were just way too far apart on a lot of really important issues. And she, you know, even though she's a nice lady, I could see that we're just miles apart on so many different levels. We didn't agree to meet, even though she wanted to meet me again. I wasn't that excited. And I will share with you, I kind of made me back up after I said no, thinking, well, maybe I should have given her another chance. You know, maybe I'm too rigid in my thinking. You know, that whole thing. And this things get stuck in my head. I don't want to be fooled by a smile. I don't want to be fooled thinking that here's someone finally paying attention to me again. I should just jump in with both feet and not worry about anything else. So I don't know if you have those self-talks, but I certainly do. And one of the books that I like, The Four Agreements, talks about the word you say to yourself and what you say to others. You know, be good with your word. And that self-talk could be really tough, especially if you're single, you live alone, you don't have that many external friends and stuff that you can visit and chat with. You know, you're talking to yourself a bunch. So then I shared with you a couple weeks ago that through that network of matchmakers, another matchmaker from the East Coast interviewed me to think if I was a match or not with a client of hers in the Bellevue area close to where I live, which is east of Seattle. And I say that just in case you listeners are outside of the state of Washington. And I can tell, I can sense the matchmaker. I just got the sense that she just was not impressed with me at all, or that we just kind of didn't hit it off. And so I thought that was a dead end deal. So there it goes again. In the Four Agreements, it says, do not make assumptions, because 95% of them are wrong. And, you know, here I am, the older guy, and I'm still making assumptions. And yeah, they typically prove to be wrong. As in this case, I finally hear from her and she wants to set me up with her client. Here I assume that I made a lousy impression to her, therefore I probably wasn't going to be connected with her client, because she's already made the, I in my head assume that she already came to the mindset that there's no way she's going to introduce me to her client, because her client's paying her to match her. And so she wants to make sure that she matches people that have a good chance of succeeding with her client, so that she can prove that her services were of value and that her client didn't overpay for something, or that they paid for something that they never delivered on. So I get an email saying, hey, my client wants to meet up with you. Okay, so we'll do that. So we scheduled a Zoom date, and we actually had a Zoom date last night, and I was impressed by the fact that she actually showed up on time. That's a big deal for me, show up on time. My mindset is, if this is as good as it's ever going to be out of the gate, what's it going to be like 6 months, a year from now if you've settled into the relationship? And we chatted about this before. So being on time shows that you value my time, just like I was on time because I value her time. Interesting lady, very cordial, is a nice conversation. Wasn't really sure how it was going to go or not go. I'm kind of assessing her. I'm assessing her house because I can see the living room and the family room behind her as she was assessing what was behind me. She happened to notice things on my wall, my business, and a little drawing that my grandson had done, and so she's intrigued in that. But I think the one thing that set her apart for me anyway is that she took the time to ask questions about me. She wanted to know a little bit more about me. And I think that was a disconnect on the previous Zoom date, is the lady really didn't talk about me, or not that she had to talk about me, but she didn't really ask about me. Didn't want to really dive into who I am, what I was like, what's my mindset. So it was kind of a refreshing Zoom meeting, and I had to keep reminding myself, Ray, don't get fooled by a smile. Don't get fooled by the fact that she lives close to you. Don't be fooled that she's close to your age. Don't be fooled by the fact that she's got no kids at home. Although, a couple of the hiccups that I found, not that I was looking, but they're things I've learned to pay attention to over time. She was married for a very long time and has only been divorced for 2 years. Now you might say, hey, what's wrong with that? And I would say, well, it all depends. If they haven't dated much, and she hadn't because of COVID, she still might be dealing with the loss of that marriage. And then I become the rebound relationship. I don't want to be a rebound relationship. Is that enough to make me stop and say, no, no, but make me pay attention a little bit to see if they're really done with that past relationship. The one thing, too, that came up was that she's 64. She's got a 22-year-old daughter. So she had a baby late in life. So as she's having a baby, my baby was going off to college. Not that that's a bad thing or a deal breaker, but two different places in life. So it'd be interesting to see, you know, I've got grandkids, and she's just got a daughter that's just getting out of college. But nonetheless, I recommend if you get a chance to have a Zoom date with someone. Why not? You can take your time and ask questions, interact with them. That was the one thing I liked about the conversation yesterday. It was very interactive. I asked questions. She asked questions. We talked about several different topics. We talked about this article in the Seattle Times about dating and COVID, because I asked her, you know, how do you feel about meeting someone after you've had a Zoom date or two? She said, well, I guess we can, you know, we'd have to figure out a way to do that as long as we had social distance and we were wearing a mask, you know. And she's fearful because she's in the older age group, like I am. However, I'm pretty healthy, and I know that some healthy people have gotten sick, best we know. We don't know if they had compromised immune systems, but we certainly want to take unneeded risk. But at the same time, this podcaster thinks that the issue is less, not far greater, that it's being made to be, because the statistics just don't warrant it. And I've done a lot of research on it. But yeah, then again, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. But as I dig into the information that's available to me through some of the very, very, very reliable sources, the data isn't adding up to the narrative that we hear in the media. Of course, I've stopped listening to the news because you listen to five different stations, you could get five different narratives, and who knows what the talking heads are trying to spin on both sides of the aisle. It's very problematic. It's very nerve-wracking. So I'll be interested to see where this goes. I'm interested in talking to this lady again. She's interested in talking to me again. We did not exchange contact information, mostly because I didn't know what would be protocol or not, and I figured if there's any interest, then maybe the date, the matchmaker would align that up, and that's what they're in the process of doing now. And so maybe she might change her mind in a day or two. I don't know. I may never hear from her, or I might hear from her. Or like one time when I approached this one lady at a local Safeway grocery store, and she took my business card, she texted me, and I'm like, all right, great. We started interacting, and then she ghosted me. She just up and disappeared, and I was kind of excited. So I don't get excited anymore. I get excited that they show up 2, 3, 4 times. Then, okay, now you got my attention. And like I shared with many of you before, my way of trying to date someone is after I've, in this case, chat with them a couple times, go out with them once or twice, I'm going to hide all my dating profiles. It's not because she's going to be the one, but it's because I want to quiet the noise down, meaning I don't want to be distracted by text messages and emails while I'm trying to get to know her and to see if we have a better likelihood of staying connected and dating and having an enjoyable relationship. And you can't do that if you got, if you're going to be in texted or emailed or people calling you and distracting you away from the person you're trying to pay attention to. So I call that respect. How about respect other people's time and energy? Hopefully they're vesting time into you, and you should vest time into them, at least for 2 or 3 dates. And then if it's not working, so you lost 2 or 3 weeks. When you get to be my age, 2 or 3 weeks is a big deal. But if you're younger, your 20s, 30s, 40s, even 50s, what's a couple of weeks to see if it's got any legs, as we call it, to go on to the next step? Now, with that said, if you're only interested in hooking up, who cares if you're being distracted by several? You're just bouncing from one bedroom to the next. I'd still like to hear from you folks. I've been celibate now, reluctantly, for the last few years. So this COVID thing doesn't affect my life whatsoever. I go to work, go home, go to work, go home. But how are you dealing with dating? And then how are you dealing with having a sex life with a new partner? How are you dealing with sex life with a partner that's not living with you? Are you having sex? Are you meeting up with them? I'd just be curious to know what you folks are doing. And I'd love to share that input and the suggestions here on my podcast if you'd be willing to share that with me. And plus, I want to know, what do I need to do? Or do I just need to be celibate and stay in lockdown for the next 2 years, which is what they're suggesting? Speaking of the lockdown for the coronavirus, I can't help but wonder, what was it that they finally did back in 1918, the Spanish flu, to finally, they talk about the second wave, and it came and more people died, but there's never a third wave. They never said what they did to get the virus under control. And I don't know if you folks know this or not, but 1969, that's right, 1969, we have the Love-Ins, we had Woodstock, we had all that stuff going on. But did you know that we had a pandemic then? And we had 100,000 people die in 1969 from the pandemic. Yet we didn't wear masks, we didn't do social distancing, we didn't shut down the economy. What did we do with that pandemic? How did we mitigate that virus so we can continue to move forward as a society? Continue to have sex, continue to date. I wish someone would tell me that so I at least knew what the horizon was going to look like 6 months from now, a year from now, that, hey, okay, if we get to here, then we'll be good. Or is the virus going to go away once the election comes and goes? I don't know. There's always that theory, right? Right now, all I care about is I'd like to meet someone, interact with someone, date someone, as I'm sure you would too. Who knows what's going to happen this week? I'm getting lots of emails on my sugar daddy site. Be interesting to see it goes, but once again, everybody's got their hand out and they all want money, and I'm not paying money. But it's been cheap entertainment. It's cost me $3 a day to interact with several different people, and I'm as polite as can be, and I'm nice, and I'm always asking what they're looking for, and they tell me, and then I have to say, I'm sorry, but that's not going to work for me. But it's interesting. At least I have somebody to talk to. Love to hear from you folks. I'm at datingfunnies@gmail.com. That's datingfunnies@gmail.com. Love to hear from you. Love to get your ideas, your thoughts, your suggestions, anything that you would like to discuss. And if you allow me to do so, I'm happy to share your story on my podcast. Have a great week. I look forward to bringing you up to speed next week.